Get ready. Wouldn't you just love to discover a place with, towering mountains meeting these glittering
Oh,
lakes?
absolutely. And where history just whispers from medieval streets.
Exactly. And cutting-edge innovation is sort of built right into the landscape. Imagine experiencing the absolute best of that.
All wrapped up in a beautifully crafted adventure designed just for you.
Yeah, we've been looking at this this private tour experience. Let's call it the Switzerland in a Nutshell tour.
And it really aims to give you those iconic landmarks, that amazing nature.
And those unique cultural insights too, right? But importantly, without all the planning stress.
Precisely. It's designed to be seamless.
Yeah.
This isn't just a trip. It feels more like a shortcut to really getting Switzerland.
Right. So let's unpack this adventure day by day. We can show you the incredible journey that awaits and, why it stands out.
Okay, sounds good. Let's start with day one. Your adventure kicks off the moment you arrive in Zurich, Switzerland's largest city.
And straight away, it sounds really easy. Picture this. You step off the plane, and waiting right there just for you is your driver, ready to whisk you away to your downtown hotel.
Nice. So, no wrestling with bags on the train or trying to find a taxi.
None of that. Just a smooth, comfortable start.
That first day, then, is really designed for you to just settle in, get comfortable at the hotel.
Relax a bit, maybe grab dinner.
Exactly. Or, if you're feeling energetic, you could jump into exploring nearby. There might be an optional tour you could take right there in Zurich.
Okay, so it's your time to kind of ease into the Swiss pace before the big adventures start.
That's the idea. And day two. Well, day two is where things get really spectacular. You're heading for the mountains.
Oh, brilliant. How do you get there?
You'll take a quick scenic train ride. It's only about 50 minutes from Zurich, right into Lucerne.
And then?
Then, waiting for you right at the Lucerne station is your private guide,
Okay.
ready to lead you on what sounds like an unforgettable trip. We're talking magnificent views of Mount Pilatus and that whole region.
So it's more than just the mountain itself.
Oh, yeah. The journey is the experience. It starts with a beautiful cruise across Lake Lucerne.
Ah, lovely. Seeing the scenery from the water.
Heading towards a place called Alpnachstad.
Alpnachstad, okay. And what happens there?
That's where you board the famous cogwheel train.
Ah, the cogwheel. I've heard about this one.
Yeah, and get this, it's renowned as the world's steepest cogwheel railway.
Wow, really? The steepest.
That's what they say. So as you climb up towards the summit, it's at 2,132 meters, nearly 7,000 feet.
Why?
Very high. You'll see the landscape change. Lush alpine meadows, then these spectacular rocks, maybe sparkling mountain streams. It's quite a journey.
It sounds incredible, just the engineering alone.
Definitely. And the way down is just as scenic, but different.
How so?
You take a cable car, so you get another perspective floating down,
Okay.
followed by a short bus ride back into Lucerne.
Yeah.
And the best part,
What's that?
tickets for the boat cruise, the cogwheel train, the cable car, the bus. It's all included.
Oh, that's fantastic. So you don't have to worry about buying tickets at each stage.
Nope, all sorted. Now, there is a little note about seasonality.
Oh, okay. What's that?
The boat and the cogwheel usually run from about mid-May to September.
Right. Standard for mountain access sometimes.
Exactly. If your trip's outside that window, don't worry. The journey up and down is still amazing via the cable car and bus route.
Good to know. So after that big mountain day,
You take the train back to Zurich. And you've got a free evening to yourself.
perfect. Okay, day three, what's next?
Day three starts back in Zurich. You get a taste of the city's history before heading south.
So after breakfast, check out.
And they'll store your luggage for you, which is handy.
Yeah.
Then you meet your private guide again.
Another private guide. Excellent.
Yeah, for a perfectly planned sightseeing tour right in Zurich.
What do you see?
You get about 3 hours to just immerse yourself in the old town's atmosphere.
Oh, the Altstadt.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Exactly. Wandering through those narrow, cozy streets, seeing the breathtaking medieval houses, the churches, the town hall. It's very atmospheric.
A real step back in time.
Totally. Then, after soaking all that up, you collect your bags.
And head to the station.
You got it. Time for a train ride to the next incredible spot, Zermatt.
Zermatt. Okay, now we're talking serious mountains. The Matterhorn.
That's the one. Zermatt is world famous, and not just for skiing, though it's amazing for that too.
Right.
It's in the southern canton of Valais, home to some of the world's most spectacular peaks, including, yes, the Matterhorn.
And arriving in Zermatt.
It's described as an easy walk to your hotel. Zermatt is car-free, remember.
Ah, right. Nice and peaceful.
Very. You check in, and then the rest of the day is yours.
Yeah.
Explore the village, relax, take it all in.
Sounds idyllic. And day four, is that Matterhorn Day?
Day four is definitely a peak experience. Literally. After breakfast, it's another short walk to the station.
Okay.
And you board the Gornergratbahn.
The Gornergrat Railway. Tell me about that.
Well, this is pretty special. It's highlighted as the highest open-air railway in Europe.
Highest open-air. Wow.
And it was the very first in the world to be fully electrified. Pretty pioneering stuff.
Swiss engineering strikes again.
Mm-hmm. They even mention its regenerative braking system.
What does that do?
It actually generates power as the train comes down the mountain. Very eco-friendly.
That's clever.
And the train itself has these large windows, obviously designed so you can just soak in the journey across that stunning landscape.
Fantastic. How long is the ride?
About 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you reach the Gornergrat station.
It is.
Also the highest open-air railway station in Europe.
Yeah.
Sitting way up at 3,090 meters. That's over 10,000 feet.
Incredible altitude. And the view?
Ah, the view. The observation platform there, it's accessible all year round.
Okay.
And it offers what they call one of the finest panoramas in all of Switzerland.
I can only imagine. What do you actually see?
Picture this. A glorious vista of more than 20 peaks that are over 4,000 meters high.
24,000ers.
Yeah, over 13,000 feet. And right there, front and center, commanding your attention.
The Matterhorn.
The magnificent Matterhorn. The description nails it. A truly unforgettable experience you cannot miss.
Goosebumps just thinking about it.
Me too. Now, being that high up, there's a practical point.
Warm clothes, I bet.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It's advised to wear warm, protective clothing. Temperatures can be quite different up there, even in summer.
Makes sense.
But you're looked after. The trains are heated. There's a restaurant up top. If you need to warm up, we'll grab a bite while you gaze.
Good. So you get some free time up there.
Absolutely. Time to just be in that incredible landscape, take photos, soak it in before the train ride back down to Zermatt.
And another free evening in that lovely village.
Exactly.
Okay. Day five, where to next after Zermatt?
Day five, you say farewell to the High Alps after breakfast and checkout.
Onto another train.
Onto another train, yes. Heading for a completely different but equally stunning Swiss experience.
Ooh, intriguing. Where?
Welcome to Montreux.
Ugh, Montreux. Lake Geneva, the jazz festival.
That's the one. A beautiful traditional resort town right on the shores of the lake. Again, a short walk to your centrally located hotel, check-in.
And then, exploring Montreux.
First, you head out to explore one of Switzerland's really iconic landmarks, Chillon Castle.
Oh, wow. The castle on the lake. I've seen pictures. It looks incredible.
It really is. This striking medieval fortress, poached right on a little rocky island by the shore, it's inspired poets and writers for centuries.
Like Byron, right.
Exactly. Byron, Victor Hugo. And the journey to the castle is part of the charm.
How do you get there?
In summer, it's lovely, a public boat cruise across Lake Geneva.
Oh, perfect. Seeing it from the water first.
Mm-hmm. You really admire the scenic shoreline and the castle's dramatic exterior from the boat. In winter, it's a train ride, also with beautiful views.
Either way sounds good. And once you're there,
you're not just looking from the outside. You get a private guided tour.
Inside the castle. Brilliant.
Yep. To the most impressive parts, uncovering all its centuries-old secrets and stories.
Fantastic. What happens after the castle?
After steeping yourself in medieval history, you head into Montreux itself, and there you meet another local guide.
They really make sure you get the local insight.
We really do. This time for a private walking tour of Montreux, this elegant lakeside town often called the Swiss Riviera.
Swiss Riviera. I like that. What do you see on the walk?
You stroll along that famous picturesque promenade.
Where the jazz festival happens.
That's the spot. You'll hear stories about the region's cultural heritage, its famous residents.
Any famous names?
Oh, yes. As you explore, maybe heading up towards the old town, you pass the oldest house in Montreux, 16th century.
Wow.
And pause for those panoramic lake views. Your guide will likely share anecdotes about famous expats, like the writer Vladimir Nabokov.
Ah, Lolita.
And, of course, a certain rock legend, Freddie Mercury.
Freddie, of course. Queen and Montreux are legendary.
Absolutely. You'll visit the statue honoring him, and you get the chance to explore the Queen, the studio experience.
Where is that?
It's housed right in the original Mountain Studios, inside the Montreux Casino.
No way. Where they actually recorded.
Yes. Albums like Made in Heaven, you can literally stand where that music was made. It's pretty special for fans.
That's incredible. A real pilgrimage site.
Definitely. And speaking of the casino, that leads to another amazing rock story connected to Montreux.
Go on.
The fire. The casino fire that famously inspired Deep Purple's classic song.
Smoke on the Water. Of course, that happened there.
Right there. The casino is beautifully rebuilt, obviously, and it's a place you can even choose to visit later if you fancy, walking around grounds steeped in rock and roll history.
What a story. Okay, so that's Montreux. What about day six?
Day six takes you on a short hop, just a one-hour train ride from Montreux.
Where to?
To Geneva.
Geneva, international city, capital of peace.
Exactly. Switzerland's second largest city, capital of the French-speaking part, Romandy. And yes, home to the UN's European HQ, the Red Cross. It has that unique global status.
So what do you do in Geneva? Meet another guide.
You guessed it. Upon arrival, you meet your guide to explore the highlights.
Where do you start?
Right by the lakefront, makes sense. You take a short water tram ride, they call the Mouettes, on Lake Geneva.
Fun. What do you see from there?
You get a great view of the famous Jet d'Eau fountain.
Oh, the huge water jet.
That's the one. It shoots water an impressive 140 meters, that's about 460 feet, into the air, a real symbol of the city. Plus, mountain views on a clear day.
Sounds lovely. Yeah.
Then you head into Geneva's astonishing old town.
More medieval streets.
Absolutely. You'll see the historic St. Peter Cathedral, walk through the English Garden. That's where the famous flower clock is.
The flower clock. Right.
Pass the old Rousseau, see the Castle Tour de Lille. Lots of history packed in.
And the international side.
Yes. Very important. In the old town, you visit the city council building, specifically the Alabama Room.
Why is that significant?
That's where the very first Geneva Convention was signed. It's where you really learned about the origins of International Geneva.
Wow, history being made right there.
Mm-hmm. The tour also takes you to the University of Geneva grounds to see the Reformation Wall. It has these big statues of four key figures from Geneva's history.
Ah, related to Calvin and the Reformation?
Precisely. You learn about the city's huge role in the 16th century Reformation, another deep layer of its identity.
Fascinating. How does the Geneva tour wrap up?
It concludes with a short ride on public transport out to the International District.
To see the UN.
Exactly. You view the United Nations office, housed in the impressive Palace of Nations. See that modern side of Geneva's global role.
A really comprehensive look at the city.
And then, after that full day, you take the train back to Montreux for your last night there.
Got it. Which brings us to day seven, departure day.
That's right. Day seven is your final day. Starts with breakfast. Then you check out from your hotel in Montreux.
And getting to the airport.
The tour arranges a direct train ride straight to Geneva Airport.
Oh, perfect. Smooth and stress-free right to the end.
Just like the arrival. A seamless end to what sounds like an absolutely incredible journey through Switzerland's best bits.
It really does. So how does this tour manage to pack all that in and make it feel so, well, effortless for the traveler?
I think it comes down to how they handle all the details, you know?
Like the hotels.
Exactly. You're staying in exceptional downtown hotels, which is great for exploring in your free time, and delicious breakfasts are included every morning.
So you start the day right, and the guides are key too, I suppose.
Absolutely crucial. Having those expert English-speaking guides for the sightseeing tours in each place, they're the ones who unlock the stories and the real meaning behind what you're seeing.
Right. It's not just looking at buildings.
Not at all. Yeah. And then there's all the transportation.
Which sounded like a lot. Trains, boats, cogwheels.
All of it. The train tickets between cities, those special mountain railways like Gornergrat and Pilatus, the boat cruises, even local transport for the tours.
Yeah.
It's all covered in the itinerary.
And entry tickets, like for Chillon Castle.
Included too.
Yeah.
Chillon, Gornergratbahn. Necessary entrances are part of the package.
Plus that smooth airport welcome you mentioned on day one.
Mm-hmm. That professional meeting service right when you arrive sets the tone.
And what if you have questions or need something during the trip?
It mentions you have a dedicated support team available both before you even leave and while you're traveling.
So it really sounds like they curate the amazing experiences and handle all the potentially tricky logistics.
That's exactly the impression. So your only job really is to soak it all in and enjoy the journey.
It's fascinating how this itinerary weaves together so many different sides of Switzerland, isn't it?
It really is. You go from those huge rugged peaks and the incredible engineering that lets you reach them.
To the peaceful beauty of the lakes, like Lucerne and Geneva.
And then you dive deep into the history, the art, the international relations that have shaped cities like Zurich, Montreux, and Geneva.
So it's much more than just seeing the sights. It's about engaging with, I don't know, the ingenuity behind the railways.
The history echoing in castle walls and city squares.
The inspiration that artists and musicians found there.
And that global influence coming out of Geneva. You really get to feel the pulse of all these different facets of the country.
It makes you think, what part of this journey would resonate most deeply?
That's a great question for anyone considering this. When you imagine yourself there, is it standing on Gornergrad, just awestruck by the Matterhorn?
Or maybe wandering through Chillon Castle, feeling the weight of centuries?
Or perhaps it's standing in the Alabama Room in Geneva, thinking about the start of international humanitarian law. What story, what image do you think would stick with you long after you get home?